Hi, this is Kari Johnston, and you're listening to the Lake Forest Podcast.
Welcome to the Lake Forest Podcast, a podcast about the lovely city of Lake Forest, featuring topics like local news, sports, music, people, food, and sometimes politics. My name is Pete, and I'm joined with the voice of the Lake Forest High School basketball, football, lacrosse scouts, Scoot Walker. How you doing, Scoop?
Good, Pete. How are you? Happy Friday.
Happy April 1st.
And it's no joke.
Is this a joke? Is this a joke? Are you guys going to go, ha, yeah, April Fools?
I already pulled off a couple April Fools tricks at my house, so much to the chagrin of everyone living in my house.
Well, if you're in Chicago, every day is April Fools. All right.
Seemingly right now, yes.
Hey, Lake Forest Podcast is sponsored by Shark Guy Beach Fishing. They're a premier South Florida beach fishing experience out of Longboat Key, Florida. Their world renowned captains not only put you on the fish, but to help you and your family make a memory of a lifetime. Check them out on Facebook or at sharkguybeachfishing.com to schedule an outing. Shark Guy is your guy for your next charter. Disclaimer, Scoo doesn't charter. We'd also like to say we're thankful.
For shark fish.
The shark fin soup. We'd also like to say we're thankful for our Patreon supporters. Reverend Lupa from the Church of the Holy Spirit. Matt A, Elizabeth B, Costa Lance, Otto, Artie M, and the Brat Stop Breakfast Group in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Arr, 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 arr.
We need to do a mobile podcast up there.
Oh,
yeah, and, in the parking lot.
And we need
some
a heck of a screen.
Breakfast with some big sausage.
Can you imagine the mics after that?
There'd be a lot of beeping out, I bet.
So what is this female voice that we have on, Scoo, unless you changed your voice?
No hand behind my back.
We got a guest for the show. How did we find Kari, Scoo?
Oh, Kari's a good long friend of mine and my what beautiful wife, Pam. And she and her little neighborhood are going through some kind of change right now. And I thought it'd be a great idea to have Kari come on, talk about it, and see what can be done.
Well, this is not the podcast for that.
Oh, I thought this
April
was.
Fools. Kari, thank you for coming on. You like that? Kari, thanks for coming on the show. Please tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm a Lake Forest resident, born and raised here. Probably my greatest disappointment right now is what's going on behind my house. And
what?
I live on Highview Terrace. The street abuts the Woodlands Academy entity, and they're looking for a capital improvement on the property, and they're sitting on I think it's 42 acres they absorbed or were gifted from the a source unnamed, the acreage that Barrett College used to reside on. So they had this nice, you know, vista to the west and have maintained the front of their property nicely in terms of a sort of serene entry type of thing. And so in trying to be competitive within their market, a couple of years back, they added a soccer field on that west portion that was donated. And they also added a softball field. And
is it grass or is it AstroTurf? Just curious.
No, it's grass. It's grass. Okay. They had done some grading. And I know the Astro, that's another topic. Very political as well. And I do have an opinion about that. Okay. But this one is sort of one of those, none of us can really believe that it's happening, because as a, within their existence, they're considered an SUP. And
when you say they, Woodlands?
Woodlands Academy is okay. A SUP.
So, and what is that?
Sup.
Special use
up with
permit.
You.
So basically, even though they abut R4 and R1, zoning, they really have no zoning. They have no setbacks. And I had no idea about any of this until I saw the surveyors in my backyard last year. And I'm kind of like, what are you guys doing? And they weren't literally in my backyard, but we have this sort of buckthorn 25 feet. Well, not a barrier, but they never cleaned it up. Woodlands never cleaned it up. Well, right now it's hard to see what's going on. There's no construction. But the surveyors were here. They were in my backyard. And I say backyard, they were, you know, 20 feet off the property line, which the standard two garage depth is about 20 feet. And then you add another couple feet. So it's not very much. And they were just, you know, doing their thing, surveying the property. And then all of a sudden back in January, all of us on the street, both sides of Highview Terrace, got these invitations from the school saying, hey, we're having a backyard barbecue, come and see our presentation of what we have proposed. So we all go over there that particular night. And there were four easels to, you know, here's part one, two, three, and here's what it's ultimately going to look like type thing. And I had gotten a heads up on what was going on. And so I encouraged my neighbors to come with me. And we had a good representation. But we all said unanimously after doing the view and they're all, you know, jumping on us, all the people with power over there at the school. And they're like, oh, isn't this going to be great? Rah, 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 you know? And we're like, yeah, it's nice plan, except for one thing. You're putting it in our backyard. And there was this just deaf ear to how it would impact us. And so they had three other options that two are on the west side. And then one is more, I don't know if you're familiar with the property, but they have the Gloria Day building. And I think it's a library or was a library at one point, but it's close. So they have this now this kind of athletic corridor, I'll say, because you come off of Wesley, hit Sheridan Road, and then the first subordinate entrance is for all the athletic fields. And then you go down further and you can go into the main entrance. They have three options, of which two of them they admitted to, they didn't like the aesthetics or it was a grading issue. And they were trying to put in five tennis courts. So I don't know if you know what five tennis courts looks like, but in the back of my yard, 25 feet off the property, it is like a football field back there. I mean, the green space is virtually gone and with this plan, and then they're also putting in a turnaround circular parking. So you can dump off kids at the gymnasium and then ultimately there'd be ADA parking for tennis as well. We had a big meeting this Monday with the powers that be, the school, then the zoning committee. It still is amazing to me that they just refuse to listen, that we're for tennis. We just don't want it in our backyards. The noise alone will just be unbearable to live with. And what they're not admitting to, as well as the fact that they're planning to rent out their fields to who knows what school, if it's public, private, we have no idea. They want to have tournaments, so get themselves more recognized in the IHSA. They don't have a current tennis program with IHSA. We're fighting it. We're like, no, not in our backyards. Please put it up front. So it was an interesting evening. I've never been to a meeting like that. I've never had to defend property rights like that. The city was a bit disappointing. You know, it's kind of like, okay, you guys all work for us. You represent the tax-paying residents. And yet they were kind of giving latitude to Woodlands. And I was like, all you have to do is deny it in this location and say you have to put in one of the others. And finally, at the end, it got a little better for us in that we were heard for sure. I don't think Woodlands anticipated the turnout we had. I mean, Our side was packed with all residents. It wasn't people pulled in from God knows where or board members or anything like that. And kind of the rub of the whole thing was you have alumni, you have board members, and they're all going, you know, go program. We're all for this. This is good. How can you not understand it? And my opener was, okay, understand your support of it. However, none of you, none, zero, live within a half a mile of this. How could you possibly know how bad it's going to be for us?
Did any of the zoning board people?
That's my plight right now.
Did any of the zoning people, board people, come out to the property, yours or Woodland, to check it out?
It was encouraged for us not to ask that.
Oh, okay.
Because if they hadn't, it would not look good for them. So we didn't want to put them on their heels to begin with and come off being too aggressive and, you know, ha, you didn't do this. My sense of things, given what I sort of heard them say, my guess is, I know one woman did, the rest probably did not. And Woodlands Inn was supposed to, by way of their application, stake it off 2 weeks before the meeting. They did not, they did it 1 week before. And everybody left to go on spring break. So
what was the purpose of the meeting? Was there rendering a permit or?
Yes, the school is trying to get them to give them their blessing and move forward through the remainder of the process. And we were just, not here.
Well, going to the zoning, do they have to approve something or was it just more informational? But
I'm not clear because it's not really clear to me how it goes from zoning to planning commission. Then I get the city council part, but it seems like in this situation, and I think it's because it's an SUP, not positive. It's very, things overlap. So I don't understand where the lines of departure are for moving forward quite clearly.
Kari, do you guys have an attorney?
I had to hire one. And okay. And what was great was it turns out, and I found out just that night, is one of our neighbors across the street, he and his wife are attorneys. They're civil attorneys. And I didn't know that. They haven't been in their house very long. And he got up to speak. He just shelled them. I mean, he just was that perfect lawyer, had all the answers, all the data, all the facts, and just plowed right through them. And actually that was a turning point in the meeting, because suddenly it seemed like the zoning board members, officers, whatever their title is, they seemed to sort of adjust and go, well, why do you have to have five courts? Why not four? And why do they have to be all in a line? Seems to me you can fit them up front with the other fields if you split them, maybe two for JV, three for varsity. And they didn't like that. The school did not like that. So they have other issues too. They have a drainage issue with the gym, and it's been there for years and years and years. And I think my guess is they're trying to kill two birds with one stone.
Hey, and Kari, I know there's two courts back there right now, but why are they like opposed to putting it up with the other fields as a complex?
Well, they actually want to get rid of those two courts. They're in disrepair. They are not even in a legal space. How they got there, I don't know, because they've been there since, I think, through Google Maps, it's like the late 1960s. And honestly, I've owned my home since 2005. And literally, I can tell you the number of times I've heard anybody playing tennis over there up until COVID made things pretty quiet. I think most of the neighbors were out there. And then after that, last week, they had a little league baseball team out there practicing in the two courts. So what they finally got caught on at the end of the night was that they're not using this just for tennis. These are gonna be multi-use courts. And they didn't reveal that in any of the paperwork submitted to the city. They didn't reveal it that night until the very bitter end, when we were just asking the right questions that one girl finally slipped up and said it. But, and then we were like, okay, it's been revealed what they really want to do. So let's make money. They're going to rent stuff.
Yeah, Scoo, it seems to me like we keep running into these same issues where people buy a house and they have a space next to the house, and then something funky goes on in that space.
See, it's transparency. Yeah. And the school said to me, hey, you bought that house knowing there was a school behind you. Well, here's the deal, folks. I didn't know that you have different set rules on setbacks and zoning. You should be transparent about that. The realtor should, maybe. I don't know, but you know, why they, you know, first of all, they're a non-tax paying entity. And secondarily, why don't they have the same rules or stricter, maybe a commercial status? And I say that because if they're going to start programs and making money on these programs, they are now, that's like a different classification in my mind, because that's commerce. And once you're doing commerce, either you're paying taxes somewhere, or if you're not, then what is your responsibility there? You now have, you know, Wild West kind of mentality. As far as I'm concerned, they shouldn't be able to build anything back here, especially if they've got, you know, all these fields rented out for money making.
Yeah, I'm the last person that's going to be an attorney, but you know, the SUP, the special use deal. SUP. If you know that, what is that zone next to you? Like in 2005, whoever your attorney was that helped you with the property, did they know that that's a special use? You know, so you know what you're getting yourself into.
No, actually, it came about. Excuse me, Scoot.
Yeah.
You could probably add to what I'm going to say, because I think you know it better than me. But in 2005, Barra was still standing. They tore that down, I think it was 2008, from what I read, kind of. And the special use permit went in place around that time, like 2008. And then there were modifications or addendums in 2012 and 2013. So
yeah, and that's a great point, because again, when you're buying that house back then, Barra College and Woodland Academy is there, and you know, who knows what's going to go down in the future. But I think it all comes down to, in my opinion, is that you know, Lake Fork being great community that it is, there's not a lot of space, you know, to, you know, it seems like everyone's always fighting to build something new in a very confined space. And whether it's a home or neighbors or even this, I mean, it's, I think the bottom line is whoever the builder, and I don't think builder like contractor builder, but
developer
for Woodlands or whoever wants to do it, you got to take in consideration. If you're coming into some neighborhood, I mean, the right thing to do is, you know, if you want 5 tennis courts, that's fine. I'm all for, you know, that if you want it, but you have to see where you're putting it and then seeing, well, not necessarily park, but, you know, if you want to do it, you got to go on not just developing or making plans based on your view from the campus, but also the view of the neighbors and how that's going to impact them. And if you don't, you know, it's, again, you got to be cognizant of your neighbors and be good to them. If that thing goes up, how did they prevent the noise?
Well,
and
you actually answered your own question. You actually said something that's at the forefront, but nobody wants to address it, which is we have limited land available to do projects, or we don't have that land. And so consequently, they're trying to eke out every bit they can where they can. The homeowners are not considered. I mean, and I will say this, this speaks to our city government big time. And there have been other mayors that were not pro, you know, scrape the land and put something egregious up. And part of why people move here is because of the charm, the quaintness. It hasn't been sucked up by developers. Either you're for that kind of environment and ambiance, or you're not. People are really bugged by all this development. And it's not that I'm against development. It's just, I think there's a place and time for it. And
as long as it's not developed around your house. How many families does this affect?
Profoundly, 16 of the 20 some houses we have on the south side of Highview, but the noise carries over a couple streets.
Yeah.
I mean, we can hear Lake Forest and their football games and their what do you call them? Field hockey games. We can hear them very plainly in our neighborhood.
Well, but that's really the thing. I mean, if you got 2 tennis courts, and I've been there and I've seen it, and there's not a lot of space.
No.
And to put 5 big courts, I mean, yeah, you can put up barriers to prevent the neighbors from seeing it and all that. But the main issue is noise and what, five courts, two people on a court, maybe four people on a court. I mean, that's a lot of people and a lot of noise. And what is Woodlands going to do to mitigate that to the neighbors? And I don't think you can.
So their solution to that is to put up this light bit of landscaping that they feel is enough. Now you have to remember they put up 10 foot fences, if not taller, which is that metal stuff that bangs, bangs, bangs once you have balls hitting it. But interestingly enough, we had a lady on our side, Rami Lopat, and she had at one time worked for O'Hare Airport in charge of sound. Okay. And she laid it out. She has the science behind it. And she spoke to it. She goes, you could put up, you know, 12 foot arborvitaes three deep. It will not mitigate the sound. It will be absolutely horrible for these neighbors. Horrible. She started talking about the decibel calculations and blah, blah, blah. And for example, each house, each or almost every other house had two evergreens. But if Woodlands does what they historically have is they put in like, you know, a 3 foot tree and, you know, watch it grow for 15 years and finally you'll get some peace and quiet. So they haven't cleaned up anything on this backside as long as I've lived here. There's broken fences, debris. There's they park trucks, they park buses. We have to call the school, tell them to move it. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. They're not good neighbors. They're just not.
So, Kari, if they came back to you and said, "All right, well, we're just going to put two courts here," what would you say to that?
Nope. No way.
One court.
None.
Okay.
None.
Got it.
You'd have you know what? I would encourage you, as did the landscape architect who made the presentation that one night in January. I looked at her and I go, you need to come over in my backyard and a couple of the neighbors to see how close this is. And I marked it off with, red construction tape. And I got my daughter out there. We marked marked 25 feet off our fence, of which 5 feet belongs to ComEd. So ComEd has got a chain link fence that runs the whole length of the street. They thought it was theirs. That's how uninformed they are. Hmm. I said, no, I know for a fact it's ComEd's because I did a landscape project last summer and they had to investigate it. So here they are. It would have been even closer.
So what can go there then? What would you be cool with going there?
Why does anything have to go there? What's wrong with it being a nice green belt and the kids play back there? I mean,
because it's America and it's, you know, it because a business owns it and it's America. You know what I mean? From that standpoint, like what can they?
The thing is, they don't define themselves as a business. Schools don't have that.
I know my niece that went over there. That's a business. Those tuition checks that are being written out, that's a business.
Well, I think there's
it's because we've only 133 students there, of which 20 live on campus, and they have to have security for those kids that live on campus.
I think there's grass back there right now, Pete, and then there's a driveway and parking for, you know, and then they got the two tennis courts, but I don't even think courts are even usable pretty much anymore, are they? I think
they're pretty run down.
My biggest issue, and Pete, I don't know if you live there and you're out nice. I know you don't live there, but if you did live
that's on
there,
the west side, isn't it?
And you were doing having a little barbecue and minding your own business, and all of a sudden a tennis ball comes flying over into your barbecue. You'd be kind of, you know, do they have to yell four or what if they send something over?
Well, that's
the
not even the worst of it, Scoop. It really isn't. I mean, I can send you a little video I have from being out in my backyard a week ago when we had that nice weather. And I had a girlfriend over and we were just sitting back there and it was like 7:30-ish, getting dark. And all of a sudden I hear this bunch of kids running across. Then you hear the fences go open, close, open, close, open, close. And what this lady that explained sound was, when it's really quiet and you introduce a noise, it reverberates as if it were 10 times worse. Right. And then it builds with each person added. It just makes it louder and louder and louder. And because it's an open space, it carries. So there's no way to quiet it. I mean, we can hear the soccer and the baseball games up on the field by the tracks, it's not horrible because it's diffused. It doesn't sound bad. But when it's right in our backyard, it is so loud. It's like they are literally in my backyard. I'm not exaggerating.
Did they talk about putting them up where their other fields are and why they can't?
Well, that was one of the four. They basically looked at four locations on the property that would meet their needs. And the first one, literally, they said it was dismissed because of aesthetics. It didn't, and they said it to me face to face. They said, well, we think it would be really unattractive to enter our property and see tennis courts the first thing.
Who are the neighbors that live over there?
It's going to look bad and it's going to look good in my backyard. It's like,
that's where the attorneys live. Sell those places now, like, hey, you have your own tennis court now. You're right in your backyard. You have five of them.
Real estate's the other problem. It's going to diminish our values for sure. There's no disputing that. I think they're doing this because they're trying. The word is that they're not in good shape financially, so they're trying to get a greater, revenue source. And so,
here's my question. I mean, as you said earlier, that Woodlands is a SUP. I mean, do they have to? So was this meeting Monday? Was this just an informational? Or is there a next step where they have to go through the process and then?
Correct. It's a process.
Get approved by the city and all that.
Right. They have to get it approved by zoning first. So it did not get through zoning that night. And it was interesting because once the attorney for us spoke and it sort of woke up people, I think, on the zoning board, and then they start to ask good questions.
There wasn't a vote Monday?
There was a vote for whether it would be denied or continued, and it was continued.
Oh,
Well, we wanted a hard denial on the location behind us. And then that way it would force them to pick one of their other locations to do this on. And they have three others.
When they said continued, what does that mean? Do they have to come back with a new plan?
Well, they have to come back with a lot of answers. And the questions were along the lines of how much is this project? And suddenly they couldn't tell us. It's like they've got the numbers on each location. Right. Oh, you don't have them. Right. Okay. And it was, have you done sound studies? Have you done traffic studies? Because they have a road that comes behind the school and it is right on top of the neighbors west of me. And in many cases, 3 feet, 5 feet, and the road's right there. So right there, they have not been good neighbors. It's only one width, car width wide. So you can't have back and forth traffic because there's kind of part of the ravine back there. So I can't even believe the fire department would agree to this, because in terms of capacity for a tennis tournament and getting cars back there and dropping people off or whatever, it would be a cluster, just a total cluster.
Scoo, this sounds like the same thing about the turf and the grass deal. Is this the same process?
No.
Like they're putting the completely pictures different. Up, getting it's different.
It's different. There's the turf field, it's not impacting neighbors and all that. It's a totally different.
Yeah.
Just sounds
it's a recovering of an existing field that's being used, so to speak.
Okay. Is this Kari's same
situation
as
Kari's situation is like, we're gonna put, five giant tennis courts in your backyard. Oh, by the way.
No, I got to see these pictures, Kari, for me to get more passionate about it.
You won't see the significance of it until you come over, because a tennis court from line to line.
Pete, you've been to West Park.
Yeah.
Take those tennis courts and pick them up. Walk over to Woodlands, behind Woodlands, where they currently are.
Yeah.
And drop it down there and see visually.
So to me, the issues are is sound and congestion. So
I think the number one is sound. You're never going to be able to.
So I'm just saying, what if it was covered? Would that do it? And deal with the congestion to get the things in and out? Then it becomes an
covered like a
thing.
Dome?
Yeah. I'm just.
Oh God, who wants a dome in their backyard? Are you kidding
okay.
me?
Okay. So nothing. We want nothing.
Pete, I think you need to come over to my house and see this.
I don't go to the west side. I stay on the east side.
They're on the east side, you knucklehead.
It's not the west side.
Are they?
Yeah. Oh. This is right off Sheridan Road. This is not the west side, unless you say
cross the track sheet. Come on.
All right, then I'll check it out. Then I'll check it out. So the third issue that I hear going around in town, Kari, is they want to turn the golf course into a wetlands. Is that?
I know nothing about that.
No.
Are you talking about Deer Path?
You're like two years behind that one, Pete.
No, somebody sent me something that it popped up in one of the groups, and I'm like, as usual, I don't know nothing. And
unless they're talking about Lake Bluff, but Lake Bluff's a disaster right now.
Oh, Lake Bluff, course, so. Then that's what it is.
Yeah. It's probably Lake Bluff, yeah.
Okay, what's going on with that?
Well, it's just, it's on a floodplain, and the village has decided to not maintain it, and you know, it gets little maintenance, but still play, and it's just deteriorating beyond all belief, unfortunately. I mean,
so that would be good to make it like a nature preserve?
Well, that's always the next fallout. I mean, that's where Deer Path sat a couple of years ago. You know, certain people wanted to make it a walking path, and, you know, that failed miserably. But what it did trigger is Deer Path renovations. But Lake Bluff, it's beyond. I mean, they've tried to go the route of Deer Path, how they brought in specialty groups to help them do that, and it's failed miserably. And now it's just kind of. But it's the toughest thing. You can't put houses there. You can't do anything. I mean, the whole back nine. If you get a big rain, it floods.
Is that a grading issue or is it a water table thing?
Oh, it's water table. I mean, okay. Grading. What I mean, they just never put the golf 10 years ago.
They never should have put the golf course there.
I mean, 10 years ago, more than 10, I don't really know, but I'm sure someone will correct me. They renovated the greens, fairways, and everything at Lake Bluff, and it was beautiful. But it's like every golf course. Once you decide I'm going to pull back on the maintenance, you know, it goes to pot. And, you know,
wasn't there a private
the double whammy with Lake Bluff is it sits on, you know, below the river. That thing overflows, the whole course is overflowed. And if you don't have people maintaining it, you know, it's done. Yeah. They had a private group in there that failed miserably. Then they had another private group come in that, you know, the village didn't want to pay them to do their job. So they just kind of, you know, just kept taking money from people to play it. And, you know, if you played it and paid it, you paid nothing, but it's horrible.
Well, it's kind of like they were chasing a problem, you know, and it's one that really probably shouldn't have been built there in the first place because of don't get me wrong. I love golf.
No,
so.
I mean, it's not that it shouldn't have been there. It's not that it shouldn't have been there. It's, you know, it's, you have, in order to do that, you have to maintain it. And for years, I don't know what it was in the early 60s or late 60s when it was developed, but I mean, the village put money into it, maintained it, and it was a wonder. I mean, the high school plays out there, and it's a great place to play. And now it's, you know,
so
horrible.
So going back two years ago at Deer Path, what was I mean, I've been here, what, three going on 4 years? And I remember something about it.
It was longer than two or three. It was probably like 5 or 6 years ago. But
that's a pretty good moneymaker, especially with COVID right?
I think.
Yeah, I mean, that course was, I was on the rec board at that time, but it was, you know, it was the city stopped maintaining it. You know, they took the people off it and, you know, it went to crap, literally to crap. And to play it, I mean, it's horrible. And so they brought in a group to maintain it and oversee it. And, you know, thankfully it's been there because we got past renovations and all this stuff to make it, you know, this 100-year course is now a beautiful, I mean, it's a destination public course, and they got some new changes going in there.
But why didn't they,
that's the power of having a private group come in and do what they do.
Why didn't they put AstroTurf in?
Huh?
Why didn't they put,
not a golfer. AstroTurf. Oh my God.
Why? What's that?
That's for putt-putt golf.
They do have AstroTurf, Pete, but some of the
customer service.
They have Yeah, no, it's Comcast. They have AstroTurf, Pete, but then the mats they hit off of when it's bad weather.
Not a golfer, just want to know. You know, I would think you would get out, your drives would be extended if you had AstroTurf there, as opposed to regular grass.
Become a longer course.
You're going there. I can see it. You're bending towards that discussion.
It keeps coming up. The Mickey Mouse Club, you know, the Green Meanie Clubhouse, you know, they're maybe they're going to put a clubhouse in Kari's backyard.
The research was passed and it's going to city council Monday. So
up
to the aldermen now to
make a
keep it going or not keep it going.
Make a guess.
Where do you think it's going to go?
Oh, it'll pass. There's no alternative. What, not have youth athletics anymore in the community? I mean,
and you know what? They've got a big tax base. It's surprising to me that the money's not there for it. I really am disappointed.
No, it's there. You know, most of it's there, but it's again. I mean, there's a lot that has to be done. I mean, we're talking turf on the main fields there, but they have to then put money into all the other parks that have fields there, west to south. Everett and Cherokee, all those fields have to be redone too. And those are all grass and those are all going to be alternate sites, but there's still a lot of work that has to be done. This is just the research phase that's going to get approved and get a real cost to do it.
Huh? So that's the city's job. And you know, it's no different than all of us being homeowners. You have to keep up your property. Otherwise it goes in disrepair and we pay these huge taxes and for them to have a bond issue or whatever they're calling it for the turf, it ticks me off. Spend the money to redo the grass and make it beautiful and keep cutting it or, you know, fertilizing it, whatever you need to do.
Yeah, that's part of the issue, and it's more usability is a big issue, and you know, they can't, I mean, there was a business, yeah, you're absolutely right that it's the city's responsibility to maintain it, all the fields. Several years ago, they made a business conscious decision to not maintain it or maintain it at a very small
low level
cost. And now it's come to a point that, and we'll see, once it gets passed by city council, then they got to do a real detailed study of the cost and all that and benefit of doing all this stuff. They're in a position, whether they have to do, whether it's turf or regular grass, drainage, they have to redo that whole park for drainage. I mean, again, like Lake Luff, it's on the edge, of the river. I mean, it's in a bad area.
It's going to happen. I mean, but, it's like, hello.
Yeah. You know, either way, I mean, it's, you know, people screaming about the cost. So the cost is, you know, I'm a grass. I played sports, coached there, everything.
Me
firm
too.
Believer of grass fields and all that. But guess what? If you don't have the right field for the kids, and this is all about the kids, it's not about a 80-year-old person who's never had kids and they just hate the whole concept of it. This is about the kids and our community growing. If we don't, these kids are already going to other communities and not staying in our community. And that's the problem.
Problem is follow the money. And that's the problem.
But the thing is, you know, people screaming against not doing the turf. The turf is something that's needed. Every community is leveraging it, utilizing it for improving their high school youth programming.
It's got 10 years use.
10 years.
And there's
right?
more injuries from it because of substrate.
No, that's not true.
Kari, what's your stance on this?
Hey, listen, I tell you, being involved at the high school ever since the turf field has been laid down, I have not seen any peculiar injuries caused by turf, number one. Number two, I don't, you know, I know some of these parents that are behind the scenes screaming about it. I kind of remember their kids playing on these fields, these turf fields, and how they loved it. This is the greatest thing in the world.
Well, it's good
so,
for their kids.
Again, well, yeah, now that my kids are gone, I'm against it. So right. I believe you can pull up anything on the internet about good, bad, or anything about the field. The bottom line is, yes, if it only lasts 10 to 12 years, then here's what the city should do, the rec should do. If it's the turf field, you manage this thing for 10 years and you grind out the cost benefit and everything and see how it is. Then when it's time to replace it, you're going to have enough data to just say, should we go back to turf or should we go back to grass?
What is the high school going to do with the football field? Because that's going to need new. What are they going to do, put grass in or put artificial?
They've already replaced it once.
So that means it's?
It's already been replaced once.
There's a predicate.
I got fake hips, knees, played on the worst AstroTurf you can imagine. Absolute worst. All right. In this particular area, having the fake stuff, you would have more consistent play. More people will be able to play than if you didn't. That's the only thing that I'll agree. Well,
and here's the other thing. I'll just throw this out there, because when I was at the rec board meeting, nobody mentioned this, and it's probably shame on me, but I didn't need to mention it. But I'll mention it here is with COVID, if these athletes and parents remember back last year, COVID canceled all the fall sports in 2020.
Yeah. Right?
Our governor then opened it up back in, December or January, whatever. And guess what happened? The IHSA, all high schools took their fall sports, jammed them into January and February, and extended the spring sports into June and all that. But guess what happened? In February, when they're playing, Pete, you remember this, when they're playing football in February, March, and the freezing cold.
Outside
on the turf. Never would have happened if it was
on grass. You can't play on the grass.
So, and not only football, but the lacrosse, the soccer, everything was played out because of the turf, which is a huge advantage. And on the flip side, you got down to, lacrosse. I remember lacrosse championship for like in late May, early June when it's hot. You know, they're played on that. And when the people are screaming that it's too hot to play on turf
fields.
When it's too hot to play on turf fields, fall football, I like that picture, fall football in August and in July, they're practicing getting ready in 80, 90 degree weather. Nobody's dying or, whatever from the heat and all that. So it's, I understand everyone has all these, I went on the internet and found this out, but the reality is go look at Lake Forest High School, who's been using this thing for the last 10, 15 years and leveraging it, the fact that they can play on it and in hot weather, cold weather or whatever.
If it's consistent and you're willing to pay for it, okay, great. It's dealing with those two things. And everybody needs to look at it. That's all that I'm saying. Because we can go down a rabbit's hole on this one.
Well, but and the cost, the cost to do one or the other is almost about, I can guarantee you it'll come out the same or close to it.
What about the ecological impact? No, all the greenies always going like, it's so bad for the ecology. That turf, what you have to prep and lay down for it. And come on, I like grass. And the three of us, I'm going to imagine, all played on grass fields. And nobody was worried about potholes or whether the grass was super smooth. I mean,
trust me, there was always issues about potholes and all that, because the fields, if they're not maintained properly, become that. And that's what the fields in Lake Forest right now.
You two, Lake
every
Forest
field in Lake Forest is right now people, the baseball field.
I grew up in the inner city of Chicago playing on gravel.
I am not a baby, Pete. I am all about.
You didn't play on gravel, Pete.
I'll send you a picture. I played on gravel.
I played softball on those fields and got my nose broken because of a ball that was hit that took a hop. And so I know.
You got to watch those balls.
The fields were, sorry, when you guys were playing, when we were playing softball, those fields were, those fields at Deer Path and the fields in the city 20 years ago were destination fields. People wanted to play tournaments there. They came in from around to play tournaments there. And a business decision was made to not maintain the fields because it was a people issue. That decision was made, right or wrong.
The leadership,
I say it was wrong. Because I believe that those fields were great. but now it's deteriorated down there. You have a decision to make, and
you can go back to that. And if it's a cost benefit ratio,
I say you put the turf down, and then you manage it after 10 years. If the turf doesn't work and it's not generating the revenue and all that other stuff that it's supposed to do, then guess what? The foundation has been laid. You just take the people at the grass down.
Customer service, Scoo Walker. So this Lake Forest High School, look, the administration's smart, right? They wouldn't just put turf in if it was
not necessarily.
Well, I'm just
what year you're talking about.
Did they go through crap resurfacing that field? That's why I'm kind of wondering why all the crap is going down for
zero.
Why is it happening now? That's all I'm saying. You got a Mickey Mouse club that's probably gonna go in Kari's yard. They're gonna build a clubhouse back there.
Take it back, Pete. Don't you be fixing me or I'll be out here for fun.
You're a green meanie. I got to see your...
I know Kari's not a green meanie.
Oh, I think she's a green meanie. I want to see a picture of the backyard.
You need to have a conversation with Kari offline.
Oh, we will. We will. Quick question. The Will Smith slap, fake or real?
Oh.
I thought it was fake.
I thought it was fake, too.
Okay.
I thought it was fake and was a joke.
And you know what was the telling part of it is that... It was how kind of Chris Rock, his fallback, I guess.
He thumped the mic.
And I know what a slap sounds like. It didn't sound like a slap, or it was a little girly slap.
I thought he hit him.
It's like a Three Stooges.
And then it was like a slap. Like,
what if he would have done like a Three Stooges?
But he, you know what?
What a joke. What a joke. His wife
and she was not laughing. And then all of a sudden he's like, okay, I got to man up all of a sudden.
I don't think his wife laughs at all.
He should have brought up her 20-year-old boyfriend or whatever it is. That would have been even funnier.
Oh, no, he didn't.
They have an open marriage. So, like, what's the problem?
She's dating some 20-year-old.
How do you do it? Okay. That's a whole other show.
Yeah.
Now, what a joke that was. Come on. And they talked all during the pre-whatever Oscars all week was, oh, I got to do something to ramp up the viewership and all that. It's going to be the worst,
Scoo, I like Kari. I think we got to bring her back. I think we might have to have her on the North Shore podcast. We could have some fun there. Can you imagine Kari and Rob Metz? Oh my God.
But it would be
a love fest.
Thanks for listening to the Lake Forest podcast. Please give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Oh, you're not going anywhere. Like button on Facebook, Instagram, and follow us on Twitter. Let us know what you'd like to hear about in the upcoming shows. Again, I'm Pete and can be reached at Pete at lakeforestpodcast.com. The link will be in the podcast notes below. I'd like to thank our Patreon sponsor, Shark Guy Beach Fishing, their premier South Florida beach fishing experience on Longboat Key, Florida. Their world-renowned captains not only put you on the fish, but to help you and your family make a memory of a lifetime. Check them out on Facebook or at sharkguybeachfishing.com and contact them today to schedule an outing. Shark Guy is your guy for your next charter. We'd also like to say we're thankful for our Patreon supporters. All right, you ready, Kari? Reverend Luke back from the Church of the Holy Spirit. Matt A., Elizabeth B., Costa Lance, Otto, RDM, and the Brat Stop Breakfast Group in Kenosha.
I can't believe you're in a band the way you say that.
You like that? On behalf of my co-host, Scoo Walker, and our fantastic guest, Kari, we thank you for listening. Cue the non-copyrighted music.